You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Wednesday the 28th of October 2020, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at radioalbion.com. Well, we're going to continue some more with the theme, the overriding theme that we've had over the last week here at the Daily Nationalist, with this beheading of the teacher in France, and that's basically because all these news stories are connected to that in one way or another. And I highlighted the fact that these beheadings had taken place in Tanzania yesterday. But I forgot to actually refer to why Muslims have this method of execution that they use. It actually comes from the Quran. Chapter 47, verse 4 says, "When you meet the unbelievers, strike the necks." So there's no room for ambiguity there. It is saying, when you meet the unbelievers, behead them. And that's in the Quran. It's not some obscure commentary to the Quran. And I'm bringing this up today because we now hear that we have Tory party councillors that are being threatened with beheading. A Tory party councillor claimed that she received death threats after she made supposedly Islamophobic statements about British mosques and largely Muslim grooming gangs. Conservative member of Bournemouth, Christchurch and Poole Council, Beverly Dunlop, said that a man called her three times last week to threaten to cut her head off in retaliation to her comments. So simply for words that she has stated, she is now being threatened with beheading. In response to the threats of decapitation against the Tory politician, the local council said they were very alarmed, and the police in Dorset confirmed that they are investigating the matter in order to locate the unknown man, according to the BBC. Because, of course, these threats have to be taken very seriously. When you have somebody making comments on Twitter, all politicians should be lined up against a wall and shot, you can make a pretty accurate guess that that is not a statement of intent. That is just a reflection of disgust at the hypocrisy of the politicians. When you have a threat like this, which we regularly see being carried out by extremist Muslims, it has to be taken very seriously. Last year, a dossier of allegedly anti-Islam comments made by Conservative Party politicians, including Councillor Dunlop, was sent to the left-wing British newspaper The Guardian by an anonymous Twitter user called @MatesJacob. So what was the point of that? Was the point of that just to make a list up of people that extremist Muslims could target? I mean, that is the logical result of doing something like that. If you're going to identify people and you're going to call them Islamophobic, then the chances are that the Muslims are then going to attack them. It's the same as when we see groups like Hope Not Hate doxing and exposing nationalists, and we know the reason for that is because they are hoping that Antifa will then go and intimidate the people on that list. They will write to their boss and try and get them to sack them. They'll accuse them of being racist just because they say they love their own people. And they want the best for their own people. That's the reasons for this, is to intimidate the people that are on these lists. So whoever it was that sent this, they're anonymous. They can't be intimidated. But the Conservative Party politicians, the ones that expressed that they didn't particularly like Islam themselves, which is a perfect valid thing to say. There's nothing that says that we have to love all the religions of the world. We are allowed to be critical of them. And that's all that this counselor was doing. But because of that, she's now been threatened with beheading. In a 2016 post, Miss Dunlop reportedly said on Facebook, "I hate to ban anything, really, but I'd suggest we start with mosques." In another post from 2019, she criticised calls for an inquiry into Islamophobia in the Conservative Party by saying, "How about them calling for an inquiry into Islamist rape gangs grooming underage, underprivileged white girls?" And they're both reasonable things to say. That is something that a lot of the public were saying, is why haven't we had an inquiry into these grooming gangs? Surely that is more important than an inquiry into whether Conservative Party members have an unexplained fear of Muslims. That's what a phobia is. It's an irrational fear. And what she's talking about here is fear of grooming gangs. And they are a reality. This is not an irrational fear. When she's talking here about these mosques, she's saying, I don't want to ban anything. But if we were going to be banning things, then I would start with mosques. And of course, we don't know what the context of these statements were. And this is another thing that we see with the mainstream media. They will take things that people say completely out of context and paint them as being descriptive of something completely the opposite of what the person is saying. A lot of the time. I mean, we've had this here at Radio Album. We've had things that we have said be taken completely out of context by the mainstream media in attempts to slander us, basically. Earlier this month, the members of the Bournemouth Christchurch and Poole Council's Standards Committee ruled that her comments did not breach the council's code of conduct, as it was deemed by independent investigator Tim Darsley that her comments were made in a personal capacity. I mean, 10 years ago, people would be shocked to think that something that you could say in private when you were out of work could have any effect at all on your work or your employment. I mean, when you're in your own time and you're making your own statements, that's in your own personal capacity. If you are actually at work and you are representing a company that you're working for, then obviously you have to obey the company's rules. But when you're not at work, it shouldn't matter what people say. It's disgusting that people go on these campaigns trying to cause people to lose their jobs because of personal opinions that they express in their own time when they're not at work. The council did go on to condemn the unacceptable statements from Miss Dunlop, who claimed that her remarks were taken out of context. So she's saying this is exactly what it was. They're taken out of context. This is what the mainstream media does. In a statement given to the Daily Echo last year, Councillor Dunlop said, "A few sentences from a wider discussion have been removed from the context in which they were written in order to make me appear to be something I am not. The irony, which I thought was obvious in the mosque comment, is that I am well known for my libertarian outlook and very much oppose restrictions of freedom, such as bans. Only someone with a political agenda would view comments about female oppression and abuse and then attempt to denigrate the writer. I am well aware of two other comments, which without the surrounding material, can, and no doubt will, be used to convey whatever the publisher chooses," Dunlop concluded. And I guess the positive side of this is that nationalists have to put up with this all the time. But now what we're seeing here is some of these Tory party members are also having to put up with it. Will it cause them to be more robust in their defence of free speech? I don't know. I would hope so. The threats of beheading against the Tory councillor come less than a week after 18-year-old Chechen migrant Abdulak Anzorov decapitated the teacher Samuel Paty outside of Paris for showing caricatures of the Prophet Muhammad from the French satirical magazine Charlie Hebdo. Following the attack, it was revealed that a fatwa video, which detailed the address and identity of the terror victim, had been shared by the leader of the Pantin Mosque in Paris, Mohamed Henniche, and a French mayor has also been threatened since the beheading of the teacher. So we see here, it's the same thing. Addresses, identities are being given out, and that is like a hit list for these extremist Muslims. So this counsellor has every right to feel concerned about this, and it should be a larger news story, really, considering its relevance to this teacher that was beheaded last week. Now, the second news story that I want to get into today, again, it is a continuation of yesterday's news story, where we were looking at the Manchester Arena inquiry, and we heard about a Muslim security guard who, for whatever reasons, didn't think that the non-white person with the huge rucksack on his back at a concert didn't look suspicious. We also heard how a white man had gone up to him and reported his suspicions and felt that he had been fobbed off. Well, today we hear about a white security guard that was there. A security guard had a bad feeling as he looked at the Manchester Arena suicide bomber Salman Abidi, but he did not approach him for fear of being branded a racist, a public inquiry has heard. Exactly the same reason as we are told why the grooming gangs were not investigated, because police were fearful of being accused of being racist. The government were fearful of being accused of being racist. And now the reason why all those people were killed and all those children maimed is because this security guard didn't want to be called a racist. Isn't it about time we had a public inquiry into how this term racist has been used to cover up all manner of public crimes and hazards to the British people? Kyle Lawler, who was 18 at the time, was on duty when a colleague, Mohammed Aga, that's the security guard we heard about yesterday, told him a member of the public had raised concerns about Abidi, who was hanging around outside the arena at an Ariana Grande concert. Mr. Lawler said he was stood 10 or 15 feet away from Abidi, who had been reported to security by a member of the public who thought he looked, quote, dodgy. The Shoseck security guard, aged 18 at the time of the terror attack, told police in a statement read to the inquiry sitting in Manchester, "I felt unsure about what to do. It is very difficult to define a terrorist. For all I knew, he might well be an innocent Asian male." But the point is, Asians and Muslims are statistically far more likely to be involved in suicide bombings than any other race on the planet. In fact, I don't know of any other group of people that actually carry out suicide bombings apart from Muslims. So there is a chance that somebody with a huge rucksack on their back at a concert, well, I mean, why would you have a huge rucksack like that on your back at a concert? That there is no real reason for it. And it is quite obvious that something wasn't right here. But straight away, the self-censorship kicks in and says, oh no, that's stereotyping, that is. We can't do that. That's racist. He says, "I did not want people to think I am stereotyping him because of his race. I was scared of being wrong and being branded a racist if I got it wrong, and it would have got me into trouble. It made me hesitant." Just think about that. The thought that it could have been a suicide bomber and it could have killed loads of people, that was less important to him than if he'd been branded a racist. He was more scared of being branded a racist than he was of a suicide bomber killing lots of young people and children. And what is a stereotype? Why do we have stereotypes? We have stereotypes because they provide to us a description of a group or a type of person. We have them because of our experiences. We have experiences with different people, different types of people, and through our experiences, we can predict what certain types of people are going to be like. There's nothing to say that stereotypes are wrong. If there wasn't a stereotype of Muslim suicide bombers, that would be because there were no Muslim suicide bombers. The very fact that we do have this stereotype of the extremist Muslim is because we have extremist Muslims. And this should have been all the more reason for this suspicious person to be investigated. But instead, it's a reason not to investigate this suspicious terrorist because they're frightened of stereotyping, regardless of the fact that if he got it wrong, and in actual fact, it wasn't a stereotype, then a massacre was going to take place. Surely it would be much better just to take that risk that it might be a stereotype. And of course, that would be fine if we didn't have all this nonsense around this word racist. I mean, it is worse to be called a racist now than it is to be called a rapist. And what does it mean to be a racist? Well, apparently it means that you think that somebody that's walking around with a heavy duty rucksack that is obviously a Muslim might be a suicide bomber. And that is a sensible thing to think. But we've been so programmed to think that it is wrong to think of our own best interests first that situations like this occur. Horrific massacres that could have been avoided if we didn't have all this anti-racist stuff that's projected at us every day through the television, through the schools, from the politicians, from the mainstream media, constant, calling all white people racist and saying what a terrible thing it is if we recognize patterns amongst other groups and use that pattern recognition in order to benefit us, rather than use that pattern recognition to harm us. That's what's happened here. The pattern recognition that extremist Muslims might be suicide bombers, that recognition of that pattern is actually what allowed this horrific tragedy to take place, because he was frightened of being racist. That's why he didn't report it. And I'm not blaming him for that either, because the pressure to not be racist is immense. Paul Greeny, QC, counsel to the inquiry, said, if you were to approach him and he was some innocent kid, people might think you were racist. Mr. Lawler replied, yes. And this youngster thought that was worse than if he'd got it wrong and it was a suicide bomber. I mean, this is just incredible. The suicide bomber, dressed all in black and carrying a large, bulky rucksack, and he was also stopping to pray as well. He kept stopping there and praying and walking about. I mean, this guy just looked so suspicious. I mean, he could have had, I am a suicide bomber, written on him, and I think he still would have got away with it. He was reported by concerned parent Christopher Wilde, who thought it looked dodgy and had asked Abidi what he had in his backpack. Mr. Wilde told the inquiry he felt fobbed off when he raised the matter to security, but Mr. Agger said he could not immediately pass on the concerns as he was guarding a fire exit and it was practice never to leave those unattended. And it was said at the inquiry a while back, political correctness was something about political correctness was mentioned. So it may be that this Mr. Wilde was told not to be so Islamophobic as to point out that this could be a suicide bomber. Mr. Lawler told the inquiry he had had some counter-terrorism training provided by his employer Shosec, and he was aware the terror threat level at the time was severe, meaning an attack was likely. And I bet Shosec had told him to keep an eye out for far-right terrorists and to be very careful that not to be Islamophobic and be picking on Muslims, because then it's not always Muslims that are terrorists, it's also the far-right. And it's quite clear that he wasn't told that it is far more likely, if there is going to be any terrorism at all, that it's going to be an Islamic extremist. And this poor lad here, I mean, this must really be weighing on him heavily that he didn't raise the alarm. He said, I think I was naive at the time to the situation. It was one of those things, it was possible, but it wouldn't happen to me. You see it on the news and it's not on your doorstep. Sir John Saunders, chairman of the inquiry, asked him, it happens to other people? And Mr. Lawler replied, yes. And of course, if he'd been the sort of person that listened to Radio Albion, no doubt he would have been tipped off straight away that this could have been a suicide bomber, and this suicide bombing may have been prevented if there had been people there that knew a little bit about these things, knew about the frequency of occurrence of Islamic extremism, and particularly because they knew that the threat was severe at the time. But he thought it was more important not to be accused of being racist. And as I say, I'm not blaming him for that at all, because the pressure to not appear racist is immense. Moving on to Black Lives Matter. A Black Lives Matter group formally applied to become a political party in the United Kingdom on Monday, confirming suspicions that the far-left movement indeed has political aspirations in Britain, despite claims that the movement was non-partisan. Now, how about all these politicians that have endorsed Black Lives Matter? How about all these school teachers who have endorsed Black Lives Matter? And schools are not supposed to be political in any way. They're not supposed to be endorsing any political movements. And yet we have all these reports of children being indoctrinated with Black Lives Matter propaganda right the way through the summer, being told that George Floyd was murdered by racist white supremacist cops, rather than the truth that he was dying of a fentanyl overdose, and he was claiming he couldn't breathe before he even lay down on the ground outside the car, which is where he wanted to be. He refused to get in the car. But it's quite clear that Black Lives Matter are a political organisation. We've been saying that right since the start, since years ago when they first cropped up, when Donald Trump was first standing for election, when they turned up rioting and looting. And the fact that we've had the Labour Party endorsing this group is shocking. They should really be disowning this organisation, particularly now that they are claiming to become a political party. But of course, they will say, well, this might be somebody else calling themselves Black Lives Matter. But it's quite clear from the positions that they hold that they are political. They're Marxist. On October 26th, an application was filed with the Electoral Commission for Black Lives Matter to become a fully-fledged political party throughout the entire UK, should the Commission accept the request. The group will need to file a party constitution, pay £150, and submit any logos before being accepted. And we can contrast this with Patriotic Alternative, who have been trying to get their application past the Electoral Commission for the last year, with all sorts of obstacles being placed in the way of the group. There was an explicitly white nationalist organisation that tried to form a group last year in Scotland, and they were refused because they wanted to use the Celtic cross as their symbol. And the Electoral Commission said, well, this symbol is a hate symbol. It's associated with white nationalism. We can't have a group that represents white people. So they were turned away. But this group, Black Lives Matter, I think they will get passed. Just on a related note, recently there was a court case against a Jewish housing organization that were just providing houses for Jews. This group was taken to court, and the result of the court case was that the judge said that these Jews are an oppressed minority, and in order to right the wrongs of history, they have to be allowed to discriminate in this way and just provide their houses to Jews. And I think the same thing will happen here. I think they will say black people are an oppressed minority, and in accordance with equalities legislation to right the wrongs of history, we have to allow them to exclude white people and just be standing up for black issues and not everybody's issues. But we will have to wait and see. In response to the move, political commentator and former teacher Calvin Robinson, who is himself mixed race and has suffered racist abuse in the past for failing to hold left-wing political positions, told Breitbart London, "There surely can be no longer any doubt. Black Lives Matter is a political movement with a political agenda. Anyone who still protests under that banner must be subscribing to their anti-British principles." Former Brexit Party MEP Martin Daubney added on social media, "Many of us who said this was their aim were dismissed as extremists, but it was inevitable all along." And then we have some rather interesting quotes here from Black Lives Matter representatives. "A common feature of Black Lives Matter protests in London has been the consistent demonisation of Britain, the United States, and Western civilisation as a whole." And of course, as nationalists, we support Western civilization. That's what we are trying to preserve. And that is what Black Lives Matter are trying to destroy. In a telling example of this, A leftist speaker in a Che Guevara t-shirt at a BLM rally in August asked the crowd, "Are you loyal to Britain?" The BLM activists all chanted back, "No," in reply. Good, I hope not, because the backbone of our country, what made it an imperialist country, was the blood of black people. That's how Britain was built, he explained, adding, "We only have contempt for the state, contempt for the police, and contempt for the ideology that formed Britain." Well, it was the ideology that formed Britain that was so charitable that it extended the hand of friendship to these people in the first place and allowed them to come into our countries and allowed them to call themselves British, even though they've only been here for the last 70 years. He assumes that this is our country now, and he wants to take down everything that came before him. As he says here, he has contempt for the state, contempt for the police, and contempt for the ideology that formed Britain. That's Black Lives Matter. There has also been a strain of anti-white racism at BLM demonstrations in the British capital. In a protest in July, a mixed-race LGBT activist said that it was necessary to view issues facing black people as well as LGBT issues through the leftist prism of intersectionality, which he said means recognizing that there is one common enemy, the white man. The systems that they use are capitalism, patriarchy, and fascism. All of these groups of people, the issues they face, it all comes from the same people, white men. So we need to get rid of them, he said, adding, kill the rich. So it's quite open that they hate white people. The platform that they have is to get rid of white people. It's to destroy white ideology. They're quite open about the fact that they want to destroy whiteness. And now they are expecting to be able to form a political party. And as I say earlier, I think they will succeed. I think the Electoral Commission will give them that. Just as a final news story today, also about Black Lives Matter, we currently have riots and looting going on in Philadelphia. According to Blaze reporter Elijah Schaefer, Philadelphia police have lost control of the riot and white people are now being specifically targeted and attacked. The mob is so anti-white that Antifa was not welcome with them and had to hold a separate demonstration in another location. And this will be interesting to see, because of all the rioting and the looting that's going on with these Black Lives Matter protests, a large percentage of the people protesting have actually been white. But it looks like at this one, they've refused to allow any white people there, which tends to say that the rioting and the looting is entirely being carried out by black people. It'd be interesting to see how the mainstream media tries to paint that as being carried out by white supremacists. Schaefer, who was violently attacked earlier in the evening while reporting live from a shop that was being looted, tweeted that the rioters are also shooting each other. Philadelphia police have completely lost control of the affected rioting region, which stretches multiple city blocks, Schaefer tweeted. Looters have broken into over 30-plus stores and are attacking white people. They are also shooting each other. I have only witnessed one arrest. So we see earlier, we see that that's what is being called for by Black Lives Matter, by their representatives in Britain, to attack white people. And now we see at a Black Lives Matter riot stroke protest in Philadelphia, that's exactly what they're doing. They are attacking white people. It's not just our statues they are pulling down, it is our people they are now going after. Schaefer added in a subsequent tweet that they were specifically targeting and attacking white people tonight in Philadelphia. It was clear. If you were white, you were not welcome, the tweet continued. That's why Antifa had their own demonstrations in a separate part of the city. The rioters have looted Foot Locker, Walmart, and countless other shops in Philadelphia on their second night of mayhem. And the riot is in response to the fatal shooting of a black man who was charging at police with a knife. Charging at police with a knife. So they had to shoot him. And yet the response to that is to say, well, the police should have just let him continue charging at them with a knife. The police are somehow in the wrong here. The police are actually being investigated for this, for defending themselves against someone attacking them with a knife. I have yet to see any of these Black Lives Matter supposed innocent heroes that were cut down by the police, I've yet to see any of them actually be innocent. All of them are the worst type of people. They're either the worst type of people, or they were actually attacking the police when they were shot. You would think they would be able to find at least one innocent marcher that was killed by the police, but I have yet to see one. According to the Philadelphia police, approximately 1,000 criminals are engaged in the looting. On Monday evening, the rioters looted shops, a police vehicle, lit fires, and ran over a female police officer with a truck. And of course, I will advise all our listeners, don't get involved in this. Don't go there and try to protect any of these shops. Just have nothing at all to do with it. If you go there and you try to protect these shops, you will be portrayed as a white supremacist attacking innocent protesters, the same as Kyle Rittenhouse was. It is best just to leave these things to happen. And when the general public sees these non-whites destroying a city, it's just very good propaganda for us. And of course, it has to be said, if blacks and whites were segregated, this wouldn't be happening, would it? There wouldn't be a chance for white police officers to ever shoot a black criminal in self-defense. It would be black police policing black people. And that is actually what they are asking for. That's the solution to this problem. We just need to segregate. We just need to separate. There would be no more racism. There'd be no more innocent people or claimed innocent people that were killed by white police, because it just couldn't happen, could it? It would be an impossibility. That's the way to get rid of racism, is just to separate the races. Anyway, thank you very much for listening. I will be back tomorrow with Dr. Matthew Raphael Johnson. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.